Hello, everyone. Hello, Mikan.
Hello, Annabelle. Hello, everyone.
Mikan, back in mid-April, we discussed the type of coaching you're doing. And for those who haven't listened to it, I'll make sure to put a link in the podcast description. But today, we are covering the difference between the coaching I have been introduced to in my 20s through the American self-help literature of how to fix yourself or how to get better at things, a fearless, a more confident person, to be a high achiever and to basically get out there, make your dream happen. And the coaching that supports more a shifting of perception of this being, the self, this ego self towards being. So I want to discuss with you the difference and when it's appropriate and what it means for us. But today, when we travel in the middle of nowhere, stopping at a tiny gas station, you can buy a self-help book that promotes improving ourselves. And there is nothing wrong with that. I personally have been introduced to spirituality through those self-help books. I've tried many approaches along the way and finally arrived to what I call the direct path, where I ask directly inward the right question of who I am and I can experience it. But the only problem with having to fix or improve ourselves is that it implies there is something wrong with us. And I found that it's a dead end because potential improvements are endless. And I was always looking for the next one and the next one, because once I achieve something, for example, being more confident, I was still the same unhappy person. And in my experience, it took me a long time to realize that a better version, like an Annabelle 2.0 version or whatever is more recent nowadays, is not the answer for being happier. It might be the answer to achieve something, but it's certainly not the answer when we're looking for the present within peace and contentment. So please, Mikan, could you introduce us to the difference and how we can find the perfection that we are already when actually we're not aware of it?
I can try. Look at this as a sliding scale, where on the one hand, you are on earth in a body, identifying with that body, feeling trapped, feeling not good enough, always searching. And on the other hand, you have recognized who you are, and there's peace and contentment. From the perspective of knowing who you are, also the path that you've walked getting from the other, that so-called extreme of being identified with your body, to realizing who you are is part of who you are. So there's no sense of separation from that perspective. From the perspective of identifying with the body and your feelings and your thoughts, there is a path to walk. And there are desires to either fulfill or become aware of the fact that you desire in the first place. And that path seems progressive, right? It's first one step and then another step and then another step. And slowly you feel like you're making progress and you're working towards finding out who you are. But if you keep working at it from the concept that you are not yet who you are and you need to do something in order to become who you are, then that is what you'll continue to experience, and you will not feel, you'll not be content, peaceful, who you are, because there's always a part of you that's searching. So that's sort of the next level, right? So first it's like, okay, I'm unhappy with my life circumstances. I'm sufficiently unhappy to do something about it. So I'll find the right literature or the right teacher to help me along on these first steps. Great. Hey, I'm able to improve my life circumstances by putting sufficient energy into it, by using the law of attraction, for example. I'm getting more of what I want. At some point, maybe you'll get tired of getting what you want. It's like, huh, so I figured out how the law of attraction works. Now what? Hang on a minute. The law of attraction is based on figuring out what you want and then knowing that it's in your life and feeling that it's in your life and realizing that it may be here now or tomorrow or the day after. It doesn't really matter, but you know it's coming because you've experienced that law of attraction so many times, you've started to trust it and believe in it. The next level is to recognize, okay, what is actually, where is this wanting of certain things in my life coming from? And then you start becoming more aware of the one who's aware of this wanting of certain things in your life, which is what you call the direct path. Who is this? Who am I that is wanting? And so it's a sliding scale. It seems to be a progressive path that ultimately leads to self-realization, realization of who you are. Now, from the perspective of knowing and being who you are, there is no linear progression per se. It can be instantaneous, for example. Although that doesn't happen, at least in the past, that often for people or to people, the recognition of who they are. I mean, it's somehow always there because it's completely connected to you having identified with your life experience, but you've not indeed been fully conscious of it yet. So it can seem like a linear progression, and at some point you hit a roadblock and you don't know what to do, and you realize you can't fix it, so you surrender this to God, to the you that you are, and at some point you realize who you are. Now, when that happens differs per person, because it's based on the tendencies you carry with you, right? You carry certain desires with you. You carry certain doubts with you, for example. And if they've arisen spontaneously, or if you carry them from a past that you may not be aware of, it doesn't really matter. They seem to be part of your life experience, so they're worthwhile experiencing. Now, from this perspective, which is sort of a natural progression of identifying with what you see here on Earth to knowing what you are and not rejecting anything you see here on Earth, how people get from one to the other, it doesn't really matter. It's just a reflection of where they are and the inclinations that they have. So a good first step for most people would be to cease rejection of what they're experiencing. So if they don't feel good enough, they're basically rejecting themselves. Just let that go. And then you'll have more peace right now in this very moment. So you find a self-help book at a gas station somewhere on a trip along the way, and you feel compelled to take a look at it. You feel that calling to read it, then you read it. Nothing wrong with that. Maybe you'll find something that's of interest to you on your path. There are infinite ways to get from where you believe you are to what you are. And the reason is each of us is unique and has their own life experience.
And on those infinite ways, is there some delaying when, for example, when we resist, are we truly delaying this self-realization? Is that also an experience, or is that a true delaying?
Well, it's just another experience, but that doesn't make it a bad thing. So
good, because I'm experiencing a lot.
Yeah, I can imagine. Here's how you can look at it. You are already who you are. How could you not be? But
true.
You have certain inclinations, tendencies, unfulfilled karma, some people would call it, desires or doubts or whatever they are. And because you are here on Earth and have a body and feelings and thoughts, those things are important. So let's say you're a fishing line. Somebody throws the fishing line on the pole into the water to try to catch fish. And at the top, there's the flotation device. Right? So you can see if it gets pulled down, whether the fish has bitten or not. So the little floater stays at the top. And then there's a line underneath, and there's a hook on the line. Maybe there's weights on the line as well. right? Because there has to be a balance between the flotation device and the weight. Now, your karma is these weights. So if you put more weights on the line as a whole is going to go further into the water, just by nature of having the extra weights on the line. If you, in your life, recognize that there's a weight, for example, a doubt or a desire, just the fact that you experience that and become aware of the fact that you carry that desire or that doubt within you means it's let go of the line. It's no longer part of your lifeline. And then the line automatically goes up a little bit because that one weight has been let go. So the system works by itself. You carry karma with you, you're going to automatically calibrate at that depth within the water that suits the number of weights and the total amount of weight that you carry with you. If you have no weight left, you're going to go all the way to the top, right? Because the flotation device brings your line to the top.
But then once you're in the middle of this flotation, let's say you have a little bit of a karma remaining, mm-hmm. but you're aware of the presence, but that's at some point there is a threshold where you become more being than the body mind, or
not exactly. You are never not fully being.
Okay.
It's just a realization that you are that. You cease identifying with self-imposed, let's call them limitations. Or experiences, they're basically the same thing. So you realize you have a doubt, you realize you have a desire, you realize those are experiences, you stop identifying with those things, you don't resist them anymore, you don't reject them anymore, you accept them for what they are, and they sort of fade from your awareness.
Okay, but if you're still here, you have to still, I don't know, go to the grocery shopping, so you still have to experience.
Do you?
Well, if you're here, yeah. You run out of karma, you still have to.
Who says you have to?
Not have to, but you choose to eat.
Maybe. Some people don't.
Oh, great.
No, I'm not saying you should. I'm saying if you use the words have to, and you believe something outside of you is determining that you have to do something.
Right, but you're still doing things, but you don't have to. I'm sorry, there is a boat very close to my window, so that might be heard in the recording as a vibration, and I won't be able to remove it through editing.
Wonderful.
So
you're up on the 20th floor, and there's a boat near your window.
Yes, in the middle of a typhoon, which I think is fantastic.
Wow, that boat is really floating up high.
I have a very naive question. Okay. Is there such a thing as an indicator of how much karma is left, or kind of a, you know, like a tank indicator of your gasoline remaining?
Sure.
Because I've heard some energy healers, and you are a healer as well. So is there a way to measure or be aware of what's left?
Sure. Just ask your intuition.
I'm actually asking you, which I think is better than my intuition.
Well, it's not really. It's, I mean, if you trust the fact that you're on the right path, then even if you get intuitive information, which is mixed with other signals like karma that's remaining for you, then still that's useful to work through it. It may not feel like you're getting clear intuitive information, which is actually not the case. It's just the intuitive information is providing you with information about the karma that remains. So it may feel like you're not getting clear or accurate information, but it's actually the information that you require in order to identify the karma that you have remaining, because you've chosen to overcome it because you're on the path. So it doesn't really matter who you ask that question. And if you get the answer, let's say I tell you, you have 51% karma remaining. What does that do?
Yeah, nothing, because you can't compare it. You have no comparison.
No. But even then, you're attempting to extrapolate into the future based upon some numbers. Is that really what is going to happen?
There's no way to know.
Well, intuitively, you can ask, you know, how many years it's going to take, how long it takes to clear karma that's in the room.
Well, so the boat was quite a nice noise compared to my son coming on and off of the room where I'm recording with Mikan right now. So I'm sorry about that. But I
didn't
indeed...
hear anything.
I
really,
indeed,
I just saw your interaction.
Yes, well, that's my reaction. That's me resisting.
Yes, this is you.
So I am resisting, and at the same time as we are recording, so see, I am trying to apply Mikan's teaching, and so I'm going to let my son come here and play. So I'm sorry about the background, but I'm just embracing the experience as I speak.
So here's a piece of good news for you. I believe that your headphone is filtering out that background noise.
We'll see. And it will not even remove that discussion, because I think it's important that we're able to communicate as well, or resistance. And I'm still resisting quite a lot. And that's part of it, actually. Managing my project with being a full-time mom is part of what I'm still resisting. So I think it has a place on this conversation. I have another question. Can you be not on the path? Because my understanding is you're always on the path, and you might experience you're not, or you've been delayed, or you somehow did something terribly wrong. And that's an experience, but you cannot be not on the path.
So from that, from the perspective of indeed, from wholeness, from unity, from being, everything is part of it. If okay. wholeness, if unity, if being is infinite, then there's nothing outside of it. So yes, that means that everyone is on the path. Now, from the perspective of the identity that you carry with you.
No. From that perspective, it seems like I'm struggling.
Exactly. But the path can go down or up, right? You just pick a random direction. It can go forward or backward, down or up. Let's say down or up for ease of, you know, comparison to what people have in their minds generally. Either you choose to experience levels that lead to a further belief in your identity, separate from what you are, or you choose to follow a path that leads you ultimately to realize you are not separate from who you are.
Yes.
And so in one case, you're adding lead to the line. And in another case, you're removing lead from the line.
Yeah, but from the perspective of the body-mind, because
yes.
You're never on a path. From the perspective of being anyway, you're already there.
Yep.
Okay, that makes sense. So we can experience that we can delay this path towards being and have the sensation that if we do something wrong, we can increase our suffering or delayed or contentment, access to contentment. But that's just an experience. When we connect to the presence within, we can actually check that it's untrue from the point of view of being. When I completely aware of the presence within, I can actually be peaceful at the same time as my son is jumping on the bed behind me. I see still a little bit of annoyance in the experience from the point of view of the body and mind, which I can feel in my body, I can feel in my mind, I can sense the emotions. But when I'm present at the same time at the being, then it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's one way, is the sense of the path. On the other perspective, I'm there.
Yes.
But the fact that when I'm on the body and mind, being on a path and being kind of delayed, it's only because I haven't yet consumed all of the karma remaining.
So let's do that one for, you know, believing that you may be delaying. So if you focus on that, What is that? Is that a thought, an idea that you are delaying? Is there an associated feeling with that or not?
It's a mix of thought that if I was already awakened, I would not be experiencing being annoyed or being scared or having doubts.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit of a thought, like a belief that when you're an awakened person, you're no longer struggling with any side of your experience. You still can experience things, but it's not bothering you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a thought. And in terms of emotion, I am feeling the emotion of the experience itself. I don't think I am experiencing an extra emotion linked to the fact that I'm thinking I'm a little bit delaying, except maybe a little bit of disappointment.
Okay.
But it took so long just to get there, and I'm not even completely there. You see what I mean?
Yes, I understand. So are you now aware that you have these thoughts about delay and this feeling of disappointment that goes with it?
Yes, sure. As we're talking about it, yes.
Okay. So now what?
It becomes another experience, like any other experience. Okay.
And what happens?
It's still more karma. I think I went up to my my karma tank indicators. Because now I'm fine with that. Delay the thoughts and even the disappointment.
Yes. So you just, by the fact that you became aware that you're carrying this thought with you and an associated feeling, and being okay with being aware of that thought and the associated feeling, you've removed this piece of lead from your line.
Yes. And by the way, if any of our listeners are in the same situation, that you're consciously on a path towards awakening, it feels like you're working towards it, we would love to have your feedback, comment, or if you could share your experience, would be lovely, right, Mikan?
Yes, of course. And if you need support in dealing with something, reach out to us as well.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mikan.
You're very welcome.
This series comes to an end. Please help us to create more content for you by subscribing, following, sharing the In Waters podcast. More free content are available at iammikan.com or theinwaters.com. We are always available for you if you have any question or you need help with anything. Thank you for listening and talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.